All righty, let's take our Bibles tonight and go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We have been studying through some questions together on Sunday nights, and Pastor Philip had asked me if I would take a turn tonight, and the Lord instantly brought my mind to this passage, and it's a great question that I think every one of us at some point in our life or will or have or at some point will ask this question we're about to look at together here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is probably one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament, and I'll share a little bit about why it's meaningful to me and why I ponder this passage often and to try to answer this question, a question that sometimes I don't know the answer to, but through God's Word and through this passage, we can find some truths that can help us. But maybe tonight, before we get started, let's kind of recap some of the questions we've talked about. Who can remember? We'll do a little class time here. How many of you love school? Anybody love school? Nobody? All right, so just a little bit of class setting here tonight. Maybe if you tell me, what are some of the questions or one that stood out to you really, really? You remember, I mean, that was a great question we discussed. Anybody have one you remember at all? This is the... Okay, how do you prepare for the coming, second coming of Christ? That was a number of weeks we talked about that and dove into some practical things with that. It was a great, great question. Hopefully you got some answers to that. What else? Anybody? I think there's about six or seven of them we've talked about, at least six. Go ahead and just say them out loud if you know one, you remember one. Anybody? Man, we're doing a great job, aren't we? there was one just last week, I believe, that we dealt with last Sunday night. It was false accusations. What do you do when you're accused wrongly? Anybody else remember any that stood out to you? Anybody? You know, I asked the teenagers on Wednesday nights. They're all flipping through their notes trying to find the answers from the previous week because I throw out candy bars, you know. Maybe if I brought some candy, you would know the answers and do a little bit of persuasion there. Candy always works. Say that one more time, Miss Wanda. Yes. Yeah, that's a good one, okay? It's how to live for the Lord in a godly world that's turning away from Him. Very good. Anybody else remember one? How to know God's will. I think that was the first one. I actually went back through and looked at them last night just to make sure I was right with some of them. It's been since last summer, probably fall, since we've done that. Anybody else remember one? Yeah. Yeah, thinking the right way. Very good, okay? How to know God's will, thinking on the right thing, false accusations. We dealt with the second coming and then restoring a believer. That was one as well, too. And anybody else, did I miss one that you had? Anybody? Okay, very good. Well, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Tonight I want to answer this question or give you some thoughts about this question of what to do when you don't know what to do. How many of you have been there before? You say, man, there's been times that I don't know what to do. I have no idea. I'm about to face something and I have to make a decision. Buying a car, buying a house. Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to go to school? What am I going to eat for dinner? Those are big decisions, okay? And what do I do? What to do when I don't know what to do? There are many times, and we can take this from a spiritual standpoint. Daily decisions are part of our life. We have to make them each and every day. But there are some serious spiritual decisions that we have to make, things that may change us for the rest of our life. Decisions that we have to make that may have a consequence that may be good or may be bad. And is my family going to do this? Or as a family, are we going to make this decision? And so there's often, I remember back to my first 2 years of ministry, and I had no idea what I was doing. I grew up in a pastor's home, most of you know that. There was moments that I kind of stopped, and this is before I even married Erin, who gives me a little more sense of when I'm confused about something or need wisdom. She has a good input on that. But this is before I knew her, before I was married, there were times I just didn't know what to do. And I was thinking this afternoon about my first ministry serving the Lord in Virginia, and the pastor I worked for there was a gracious man and just kind and always was trying to teach me something and help me. And there were moments that I didn't know what to do. I just, man, I had I can think of a dozen stories, things that I just didn't know what to do. I'm thankful for my dad who I often would call and ask for wisdom. And I said, Dad, what do I do? You know, this situation. Or now I call Pastor Philip, what do I do? You know, and so I'm thankful for that. Thankful for God and leaders. But look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We find a man by the name of Jehoshaphat who was in the very same situation, very same thing. He was getting ready to take a battle or go to battle. All of Judah was getting ready to face great armies coming against them. And they actually asked this question before together. They look at verse number 12. It says, "O God, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us." Look at this. Notice this with me. "Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." This is the question we want to answer tonight from this passage. What to do when we don't know what to do? Maybe you have sat in moments and you've cried out to the Lord, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm facing this financial hurdle in my life. I don't know what to do. Lord, I'm facing this physical battle. I don't know what to do." Maybe spiritual battle. You've been facing something spiritually. "Lord, I don't know what to do." And so we find really a remedy in this passage to kind of help us answer that question. And again, this is not a perfect formula. It's if you do these things we're going to look at tonight that you're going to have that answer. But it certainly will help you look to the Lord for direction and help. And so let's look at this together here. We're going to find a number of things of really how to answer that question of what to do when we don't know what to do. Let's go back to the beginning of the chapter. We're going to work our way through this here for a few moments tonight. I promise not to be very long and try to get you home here and get you some rest. I know many of you are tired today, but let's ask the Lord to help us here in these next few moments. Look at verse number 1. "It came to pass this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them on the other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazion Tamar, which is in Gedi.'" In verse 3 is where we find our first, really, what to do when you don't know what to do. "And Jehoshaphat feared," and notice this, "and set himself to seek the Lord and to proclaim a fast throughout all Judah." So the first remedy or first answer that we find of what to do when we don't know what to do is the setting, or to set ourselves. The idea here is that it's a change of direction. So it's as my Bible is sitting right here on this podium, and I would take it and I would set it on this pew, it would change direction, it would change positions, right? And so Jehoshaphat noticed this battle was coming against them, this great army was coming. All around them was a battle surrounding all around them. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We don't know what to do, but what we're first going to do is set ourselves in the right direction. It's a choice of the way that we set ourselves. It's a choice to set ourselves towards the Lord. Jehoshaphat made a direction or direct decision to set himself to the Lord. You know, they could have turned around the other way. They could have said, we're going to gear up. We're going to battle. We're going to fight head on. But he said, no, we're going to stop and we're going to change direction and keep our eyes upon the Lord. So what you do when you don't know what to do, you set yourselves in the direction the right way. You know what happens is too many people today, when they come to a hard situation or a hard battle, or they don't know what to do, they run in the complete opposite direction of the one who's in control of that certain battle or that certain situation. I'm guilty of it. When I need some wisdom or need direction, I run to somebody else or run to my wife or run to Pastor Philip or run to family or run here and there instead of running to the Lord who has all the answers and is in control of all things. So what does God's Word tell us about setting ourselves or things that we should set in the right direction? Maybe jot these things down somewhere just as a reminder. We can set our eyes on the right things. Psalm 101 or 101:3 says, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." So we can set our eyes on the right thing, not letting things come before us. What we think on and what we look at consumes our mind, consumes our time. If we set ourselves and set our eyes on the Word of God and set our eyes on the right things, then our minds and our hearts will process those things in the right way and honor the Lord. Then the Bible tells us in Colossians 3:2 to set our affection on the right things. Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." We are in love with the things of this world. I'm guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. We put things ahead of the Lord and set our affection on the wrong things. It's playing it this way. Our foot should be one almost in heaven. We should be almost ready to leave this earth in a moment's notice because it could happen any moment. And so our affection should not be on this world, but set our affection on things above. Then the third thing I wrote down, this was set our minds on the right things. Set our minds on the right things. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." That's a great list. Has my mind been on what's true today? Has my mind been on what's honest today? Has my mind been on things that are just today, pure things, lovely things? So setting our mind on the right things. So setting our eyes, setting our affection, and setting our minds on the right things will help us set ourselves in the right direction. If you think about it, we set all those things, and there's probably more listing through the Word of God for those things of setting ourselves in the right direction, then we can't help but set ourselves in the direction towards the Lord. If we're putting our mind and putting our thoughts on Him and putting our minds on eternity, you parents have your teenagers here tonight, or that they can talk, maybe ask them what they've been learning on Wednesday nights. We've been studying through really how to witness to our friends. And we talked a couple weeks ago about if you had 12 hours to live, what would you do in those 12 hours? And last week we talked about keeping our minds on eternity and using our testimony as a way to witness. And so we talked about what would you do if you had just a few moments left on this earth? And so our minds should be on eternity. Our minds should be in the things that we do, our conversation. Hey, the Lord, come back today. Let's be ready. So Jehoshaphat set himself. And notice second thing we find, not only setting himself, but notice this, to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. The second way that we can really know or have an answer to know what to do when we don't know what to do is to seek the Lord. We can seek Him. I find it really interesting that, again, they did not turn in a different direction. They did not battle themselves, prepare themselves. Obviously, I think they were probably ready to fight. They were ready to war. They were ready to battle as they had done in the past. And so they were preparing again, once again, to do that. But this time around, Jehoshaphat reminded them, we're going to set ourselves towards the Lord and trust in Him through this battle. We're going to prepare ourselves spiritually battle this time, and we're going to seek the Lord. Notice some things that they sought, or notice some ways or some things that they tried to seek after here in this passage. Look at verse 4 again. Judah gathered themselves together to ask of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So I see this here. They sought His presence. They sought His presence. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand there are pleasures forevermore." We can seek the Lord's presence. We long for Him. I long to spend time with Him and be with Him. And I hope you do too as believers tonight. I gathered on a Sunday night here. Most of you, I'm sure, know the Lord or have known the Lord for some time. You desire to be in church, and that's a great place to seek the Lord. But even when you leave, you should desire to seek His presence, to seek Him and be with Him. It is important for us every day to get in the presence with God, to spend time in His presence, not just certain times, but all throughout all the day. Lord, I need You in this very moment. Lord, as I prepare to go into work, help me to be a testimony. As I prepare to go to school or prepare to go here or go to the store, help me to be a testimony. As I prepare to play paintball, Lord, help me to be a good testimony for the Lord, okay? So every situation, we can ask the Lord to help us and to seek His presence. Notice this in verse 5. Let's move on. So not only seek they sought after His presence, but they sought after His power. And Jehoshaphat, verse 5, stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" Look at verse 7. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before the people, before thy people Israel, and gavest to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever?" Notice that they're seeking the Lord. They were remembering what God had done for them in the past. They were remembering what God had did for them in previous battles or previous times. They kept bringing up the greatness of God's power. And really, they were asking the questions that was kind of a rhetorical question. Art thou not our God? Art thou not the God who did this? Or art thou not the God who did this in times past? They were recognizing His great power. They were simply seeking His power. God, we know that You're in control. We know that You have all power. And we're once again seeking You for help. So notice they sought His presence, His power, but they also sought for Him to have the preeminence. Notice this again. Let's look at these verses one more time. I want you to notice some things in these verses, 5, 6, 7, and we'll go down to 12 in just a minute. Notice this. They had a personal relationship with the Lord, and they notice this with me. It says, and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven?" And down to verse 7, "Art thou our God?" It was a personal thing to them. It wasn't, well, that's the God who did this. He's our God. He's the one who helped us in times past. He was obviously first place in their life because they already recognized that, as they were mentioning Jehoshaphat saying, He's the God who's helped us in the past, the God who has and will and continue to do. He's our God. It shows that God was the preeminence in their life. They could have in the past, they could have in this situation, said we're going to battle with our own hands, we're going to fight with our own might and our own strength, but they first, from the very beginning, and when they didn't know what to do, they're going to seek the Lord. They're going to seek His preeminence. We need to seek Him. We need to seek Him. We can't find help in any other way. The world we know is no way to find help with the world. There's no way, definitely not way to find help in the government. There's definitely not way to find help anywhere else but the Lord. Now, I'm thankful for a church family. I'm thankful for my family. I can find help and comfort in those moments, but there's none quite like the Lord and none to quite other like to seek Him. Isaiah 55, 6 says this, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Tonight, if you stand in need of something, call upon the Lord. If you stand in need of direction, if you need help, if you need to know what to do, seek Him. Find Him. He is there. He is near. Let's move on. Let's notice the third thing. So we find the setting, the changing of position to seek the Lord when we don't know what to do. Then we find the seeking of the Lord, the actual seeking part, when we don't know what to do. And thirdly, let's move on to verse number 13. So when we don't know what to do, we find the standing. They stood before the Lord. Look at verse 13. It says, we already read verse 12. We know to find the question in verse 12, but look at verse 13. And all of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite, the son of Asaph, came, the Spirit of the Lord, in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Let's jump down to verse number 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. There it is again, that word set. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord, of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. So we find the standing here. They stood still. Why are they to stand still? Because the battle is not theirs. They're not in control. They have no outcome. They don't know the outcome. They can't control the outcome of the battle. So twice the Levite here told them, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Simply stand still. Stand still. It's hard for me to sometimes stand still. Physically, it's hard to stand still. But on a spiritual sense, I'm sure you like I am, it's hard to stand still. It's hard when you need an answer. Lord, I need an answer right now. It's hard to stand still and wait. It's hard to stand. Lord, I need an answer. I need direction. I need to know what to do. It's hard to stand still. And so as Jehoshaphat, as this Levite came to them, and Jehoshaphat and the people, okay, just stand still. The battle's not yours. So what do we do while we stand? What are some things that we can do from the Word of God we find? Some things that we can do while we stand. We simply, first of all, we listen. We listen while we stand. God may be giving someone the opportunity to help you, to encourage you. So simply stand. Simply listen when you're standing still. Those very moments when you don't know what to do, when you you're at probably the wit's end, Lord, I don't know what to do, simply stand still and listen. God may send that person right in your path that needs to be there to encourage you. Maybe the Lord is encouraging through a song. The Lord is encouraging through a message. The Lord is using those things, and so often we don't want to listen. I don't want to listen to music, or I don't want to listen to preaching, or I don't want to listen to the Word of God. But those are the moments that we should listen when we're standing still. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5, you can maybe jot this down. My son, if thou wilt revive or receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest her for her as hid treasures, that then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. When we stand still, one of the best things we can do is simply listen. The second thing I wrote down is this: when we stand still, we should obey. God may or might have us listening in those moments. He might have us standing still and listening, but when He speaks, we must obey. Sometimes when we're making decisions, we get ahead of God, or we want to jump to the next thing, or jump through this hoop, or do this. But sometimes we need to stand still and listen, then obey. When God directs, we listen, we obey. Isn't it great to know the Lord will show Himself if we simply obey Him? Kind of what we heard this morning about following our shepherd. I don't know about you, but, and I'm not, Pastor Philip didn't pay me to say this, but some of the messages from 1 Peter have been very, very helpful. Certain things we've been looking at through suffering and through understanding our shepherd. And I was actually, when we left today, I was like, there's my shepherd, okay? I was just joking around with him, but he is there for us to guide us, to help us through the Word of God. And so maybe the Lord uses him to encourage us to obey, to listen. Then I wrote this down. The third thing is simply we trust. So we listen, we obey, and we trust, and we're standing still. Sometimes in those standing still moments, God wants us to listen, then obey, then simply trust him. Trusting is putting all our confidence in the Lord, saying, Lord, I can't do it on my own. I can't do it on my own self, my own strength, my own will. I'm going to simply put my trust in you. So when we don't know what to do, we simply stand still. Simply put ourselves, set ourselves in the right direction towards the Lord. We seek after him with all our being, and we put our confidence and trust in him. We stand still and listen, trusting in him. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 2 says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord, thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, and thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. All throughout the early Old Testament, we find Israel turning from God, turning back to God, turning from God, turning back to God. And so if they would simply stand still and listen to God, he would give them direction, and simply they had to put their faith and trust in him. Thankful for that truth here tonight. Let's move on to this passage. We find the fourth part of this. When we don't know what to do, we set ourselves, we seek the Lord, we stand still, and notice this in verse number 17, and we'll read down to verse 22. And we see the kind of the end part. So keep this in mind, the context, the battle's coming. These armies are coming against, and so they're going to seek the Lord and stand still. And notice verse 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, or be dismayed tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head, notice this, with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth in the wilderness to Koah. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of his holiness. And they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Notice this verse number 22. We find what happens in this battle. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, set ambushments against the children of Amnon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. You know, the fourth thing I find in this passage of what to do when you don't know what to do is you sing or give praise to the Lord. The singing. They began simply to praise the Lord. All right, so we've set ourselves in the right position. We don't know what to do. Our eyes are upon you. We're going to set ourselves in the right position. We're going to seek the Lord. We're going to stand still and trust him. But then we're going to simply praise the Lord. Can you imagine? We came in here maybe next Sunday and said, all right, we're not going to do any preaching. We're going to just sing to the Lord. Some of us would be just kind of, well, that's a little different, but most of us probably would do that and participate in that. But if there was battles coming, all right, if we were in the military or we're fighting other places or some kind of battle, and I said, all right, instead of fighting, we're going to sing. Most of us would probably laugh or be confused by that. But that's exactly what the Levite told him. Jehoshaphat said, okay, you're going to be a singer and you're going to be stand still. And he was appointing people to do certain jobs. And so now they began to sing and praise the Lord. So the singing and worship, really, it started before that as they set themselves in the right position. But we see what the result was. They won the battle because they simply turned to the Lord and gave him the praise. Immediately after they were told to do what they were told to do, they worship. And so one of the greatest things that we can do when we don't know what to do is simply praise the Lord. Our pastor we were for, he always coined this term. If something would go wrong, he would say, praise the Lord anyhow. And every once in a while, I catch myself saying that. And as silly as it is, and if he was here, he would laugh because he sometimes didn't know he said it. But sometimes that's a great phrase to think on. Praise the Lord anyhow. Maybe your day has been bad today. Maybe you're having a really bad day. Praise the Lord anyhow. Maybe you're suffering tonight through something, physical ailment. You're financially suffering or spiritually suffering. Praise the Lord anyhow. Whatever you go through, you can give glory to the Lord. So we know the praise was to the Lord, and because of that, it led to victory. I imagine if they hadn't done this in the right way, maybe the outcome would have been a little bit different. But they did. They stopped what they were doing. They stood still. They set themselves in the right direction, and they praised the Lord. I'm thinking of another passage often, or I was thinking about this afternoon. Paul and Silas were the same way. When they were in prison in the midnight hour, they sang to the Lord. And that's when God gave them, took the chains off, and they were just simply praising the Lord. Can you imagine being in prison, singing praise to the Lord? I mean, most of us, when we have an ailment or a physical problem, we're not instantly going to praise the Lord. It's hard to do that, but they did. When the battle was coming, when they didn't know what to do, and when they were getting ready to fight, they had to simply stop, stand still, and praise the Lord. Many times we're in the middle of a battle, the best thing we can do is simply praise the Lord. When we don't know what to do, simply tonight, praise the Lord. When you find nothing, you have nothing else left, you can't pray anymore, maybe you can't even utter anything else, you're in a moment, you're in the end of your rope, really, sort of speaking, praise the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. Let's look at the rest of this verse here. We'll finish out tonight. Look at verse 23. So we know they won the battle. Verse 23. And the children of Amnon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. So everybody was gone. The battle was over, completely gone. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked up unto the multitudes, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. So everybody, all the battle that was against them, everybody that was up against Jehoshaphat and all Judah, they were gone. There was nobody else there. Notice verse 25. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil to them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off of themselves more than they could carry away. And they were there. They were there 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka, for they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Baraka unto this day. So God blessed the latter end of this story. We know they had more in abundance they could carry away. I love the end of the story because it wasn't just a normal enemy. They've already won the battle. They already won the victory. They already had completed that. God had given the victory, but God gave them more than abundance of what they came to accomplish. I love that because sometimes when we get to the end, we do all the right things in order. We maybe seek the Lord, we set ourselves, we stand still, we listen, we obey, and God maybe helps us. But sometimes the Lord gives just a little more than we expected. Maybe you've been there before. Maybe you've been at the moments you say, God, I need an answer, and He gives you more than you can imagine. More than you ever thought. And so they came lastly with the spoils. They came to take away the spoil. They got all they could. The hardest thing I think for them probably was to be patient. When you don't know what to do, set yourselves in the right direction. When you don't know what to do, seek the Lord. Seek Him first. Seek Him's preeminence. Seek Him most of all. When you don't know what to do, set yourselves in the right way and just stand still. And then we look fourthly at singing to the Lord. Not only did Jehoshaphat get the victory, they got even more. They got the spoils. It's a wonderful thing to know when the Lord shows up right when He does. I'm thankful for that. I'm reminded, even of some events, when I come back to this passage, I'm reminded of many stories in my mind, and I go back to moments that the Lord brought this passage to life. I remember a few years ago when this passage came, I was reading through the Old Testament, I think for yearly reading, I came through this verse, and these verses, I kept going back to them over and over and over again. And in the moments when I find moments I don't know what to do, I go back to this passage because it helps me reevaluate where I need to put myself. All right, am I setting myself in the right direction? Am I seeking the Lord? Am I standing still and waiting on Him? Am I singing praise to the Lord? Am I going to get the results if I do these things? And am I trusting in the Lord? There was moments that as I was getting early into ministry that God really was working on my behalf. There was moments that a church I grew up in, we were no longer there. There was moments that my family, we're kind of at a loss. We didn't know what to do. This is really before I even met Aaron. And later that year, I met her. And later that year, God gave us a ministry to serve at. And all these things taking place. And I look back on those moments and I said, man, I wish I would have sought the Lord a little more. When I didn't know what to do, I wish I would have sought Him more. I wish I would have set myself in the right position or done more. And God brought people in those moments to encourage us, to help us. And I say all that to say tonight, maybe you're in a moment tonight and you don't know what to do. Maybe you're there right now and you say, you know what, Kenny, I don't know what to do. I'm really at my wit's end with it. I have this decision to make. I have this battle I'm facing, this physical thing, financial thing, whatever it may be, you can fill in the blank and you're just, I don't know what to do. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Read through it. Find some answers. Find some truths from God's Word and use these. Maybe you're not seeking the Lord tonight. Maybe you're not setting yourself in the right direction. Maybe you're not standing still in those moments that God is trying to teach you something. Seek Him tonight. He is trustworthy. Can I tell you that they probably didn't know what was going to be the end result in the latter part of this passage. They probably didn't know they were going to get abundance of spoils and abundance of riches. But they simply had to go through the process to trust in the Lord, to seek Him. So we don't know what to do. Set yourself. Stand still. Seek.